Bays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with African boxing. Two fighters with ties to Ghana, Joel Codia and Freezy McBones, recently scored victories in their second professional bouts in London. Yawafusu Larbi joins us now with profiles of the two boxers, and Yao says he'll start with Codia. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Before his recent fight, Codia was a railway worker in London's intense rail system. He was shoveling stones and lifting heavy stuff, a cog in the wheel of a transportation system that helps thousands of people to their destinations across the UK every day. He used to work for 10 hours or more before heading to the gym to do the rigorous boxing training to get ready for his bouts. Codia fought 12 times at amateur level before he moved into professional prize fighting. He won his first fight and has since been a sensation for many boxing enthusiasts in the United Kingdom. Codia was born in London to Ghanaian parents. As a kid, he would watch WWE matches with his brothers for hours, wanting to become a wrestler, until he discovered boxing when he was 9. It gave him a lifeline, but he would not get into the ring until he was 19. Now, he shares the same boxing gym with light heavyweight fighter Anthony Yard and believes he has learned so much from such an incredible fighter. The move from amateur to professional boxing is always a tricky one. Codia knows how tough it is.
The amateurs is more of a sport, and the professionals more of a business. So that's the two differences. And amateurs is more so they're trying to collect points, but in the professional games they're trying to hurt your opponent.
The stars are beginning to align for Codia now, though. He fought Dale Arrowsmith last weekend as an undercard on the Joe Joyce Zilel Zhang fight in only his second professional bout and excelled.
My fight last weekend, I enjoyed it. I had fun. Well, with the guy, because I know that the boy he knows how to survive. I was trying to break him down with the body work. So hitting the body, which did work because I hurt him in the third round. But then he used his experience to come out of it.
Good things never come easy. And for Codia, he has never had it the easy way. He admits that his most recent fight opened his mind to a whole new world of discipline.
Training, it was hard. It was hard. We would go for runs, do 12 round sparring, do pad work, do bag work, a lot of running. It was hard, man. It was good though. It was challenging. I learned a lot about myself in this training camp.
The young fighter reveres Floyd Mayweather, Mike Tyson, Muhammad Ali, and Anthony Yard. That is an incredible band of boxers who have achieved so much in the sport. As a young boxer, these are big shoes, but the motivation to attain those heights is spurring him on.
What do you think the future holds for Joel in boxing?
In boxing, greatness. Greatness, and with the belief and the faith of God, I will reach the top.
What do you want to achieve?
I want to win the world titles. That's my top goal.
What are you doing to get those world titles?
I'm working hard. I'm training every day and I'm improving every day. So when the time comes, I'm not training for now. I'm not training for tomorrow. I'm training for years down the line.
It is a long shot now, but from the way he has started, he could be a huge sensation in the sport in years to come. His name, Joel Codia. Freezy turned professional last year and has already become a sensation. He wants to leave a mark like Mike Tyson and other legends in the sport. On his second professional bout on the undercard of Joe Joyce versus Zilil Zhang, Mark Bones was victorious and recounts the night's action against British journeyman Darrell Sharp.
I tried to get inside him, you know, put pressure on him, attack him side and side, cut him ring off, and manage to bang him body and that. But he's tough. But at the end of the fight, he said something to me and make me laugh. He said, all my professional fights, you are the hardest punch I ever made. And I was like, this guy is crazy. Yeah, he's good. He's good. Yeah, it was well.
The 33-year-old, and with only 18 amateur fights and 2 professional bouts to his name, Mark Bones has come to the sport very late, but he still has lofty ambitions.
We just start the game. There's a lot coming up, honestly. British title or a European title, then you go in WBC, then you go in deeper, the bigger one, you know. But step by step, I'm not in rush. Obviously, I start boxing late, but I will accept whatever I deserve, and I will make sure I will be ready for what coming in my way.
As revealed by Mark Jones, traveling out of your country and leaving your comfort zone could be all you need to begin your success story. On a night that should have been enjoyed in ecstasy and celebrations, it turned to tears and a very emotional feeling.
Life wasn't easy for us. You know, we couldn't even go to school. Sometimes whatever we eat is hard. You know, by God's grace, I got opportunity, came to this country, tried to find a job, looking after my family, and then I found the love of the sports.
As a professional boxer now, Mark Bones has limited time to prepare his delicacies as a chef due to his tight training schedule. He is, however, not giving up entirely on that. He has found a way to make the art of cooking relevant in a different way.
I've got something coming out, Ghana Jollof, freezy food. I made them, me and one of my chefs, we make them, but it's not out yet. So we're going to sell them in the shop. And once it come out, I'll try to send you some to try. And that is on the way, coming as well. Soon it's coming out, like more than 3 weeks. So at the moment, I'm not doing chef at the moment. I just try to focus on the more boxing. But I'm still behind. I got a few people. We working together. You know, so sometimes I just go to kitchen and check everything is all right here and there and that. Yeah. So it's all about hustling and how bad you want it. If you really want it, you always find a way to get things done.
Labeled as the British Mike Tyson, Tyson was the only fighter who lured Mark Bones to start boxing. But he was also inspired after watching Floyd Mayweather take on Manny Pacquiao in a fight in 2015. From working menial jobs in Ghana to becoming a professional boxer in the United Kingdom, he hopes his inspirational journey to becoming a world champion comes soon. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao, and good luck to Freezy McBones and Joel Codia as they begin their prize-fighting journeys.
Sporty greetings. This is Liz Mills, head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club of Côte d'Ivoire. You are listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Season 3 of the Basketball Africa League is here. Coming up on April 26th, Nile Conference action tips off in Cairo, Egypt. Local favorite Al Ahly of Egypt will host Pharaoh Viário de Beira of Mozambique in the opening Nile Conference game. We'll be broadcasting that game and other Nile Conference encounters right here on The Voice of America. The Voice of America will once again be flexing its multilingual broadcasting muscles. We've been broadcasting the BAL games on radio in English, French, Bambara, Portuguese, and Kinyarwanda. Multilingual broadcasting muscles. Yes, the Voice of America has them. And we urge you to tune in when Nile Conference action begins on April 26th in Cairo, Egypt. The Basketball Africa League, right here on The Voice of America. The Basketball Africa League is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, the NBA. In NBA playoff action Wednesday night, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Denver Nuggets all scored victories at home. Denver defeated the Minnesota Timberwolves 122-113 and now leads that best-of-seven first-round series 2-0. Guard Jamal Murray scored 40 points for the Nuggets, while another guard, Anthony Edwards, tallied a playoff career high 41 points for the Timberwolves. The Bucks and the Grizzlies both won without their injured star players. Milwaukee's Giannis Antetokounmpo did not play because of a bone contusion on his back. And Ja Morant of Memphis has an injured hand. Final score from Milwaukee, Bucks 138, Miami Heat 122. And the final score from Memphis, Grizzlies 103, Los Angeles Lakers 93. The AP's Dave Ferry tells us more about the victories by the Bucks and the Grizzlies.
The Bucks took it outside and crushed the Heat 138-122 to even the first round series at a game apiece. Milwaukee tied a record for three-pointers in a playoff game, going 25 of 49. Pat Connaughton furnished a playoff career-high 22 points while shooting 6 for 10 from beyond the arc.
I'll do anything I can to make sure that my teammates and I don't lose. It ain't always going to work, but I'll always put my best foot forth in a plethora of different ways to make sure that I can try to, you know, help our team win.
Brooke Lopez finished with 25 points, and Drew Holiday added 24 for the Bucks, who led by 32 in the first half despite playing without Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Grizzlies have tied their first-round series at a game apiece with a 103-93 downing of the Lakers. Xavier Tillman provided a career-high 22 points and 13 rebounds, helping Memphis win without Ja Morant, who was sidelined by a hand injury.
Coach had mentioned it in the couple meetings we had about like the urgency that we need to play with. So I just felt like I need to turn that up and turn up my energy level and just be more assertive and more aggressive.
Jarrett Jackson finished with 18 points. Desmond Bane had 17. And Tyus Jones added 10 with 8 assists as Morant's replacement. LeBron James had 28 points and 12 rebounds. But Anthony Davis scored just 13 on 4 of 14 shooting. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Mike Brown is the unanimous winner of the NBA's Coach of the Year Award. In his first season as head coach of the Sacramento Kings, Brown led the Kings to the playoffs, ending a 17-year playoff drought. All 100 voters on a panel of NBA reporters and broadcasters had Brown at the top of their ballots. Now, this is the second time Mike Brown has been named the NBA's Coach of the Year. He also won the award in 2009. When he coached LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The 53-year-old Brown has been involved in the NBA for more than 30 years. Mike Brown began his NBA career in 1992 as a scout and video coordinator with the Denver Nuggets. In addition, Mike Brown coached Nigeria's national men's team, the Tigers, at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Mike Brown of the Sacramento Kings, the NBA's Coach of the Year. Coach Brown and the Kings are currently in San Francisco, California, where they'll play the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors later Thursday night in Game 3 of their first-round playoff series. The Kings lead the Warriors 2-0. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. The fastest growing sport here in the USA is the racket paddle sport, pickleball. It's simple and can be played in small spaces, so it's good for young and old alike. But not everyone loves it. Maxime Moskalkov reports.
Pickleball, indoors and outdoors, this paddle sport is growing across America. The number of pickleball players in the U.S. grew by 159% between 2020 and 2022, according to the Sports and Fitness Industry Association. That totals nearly 9 million players. The hype is real, says Helen White, with the American Pickleball Association for Northern Virginia and Washington.
I just finished a week where I taught 15 classes, and that would be about 90 students. My youngest was about 7. My oldest was probably in their 80s. The courts are too crowded. When you have 20, 30, 40 people waiting to play on a court, that tells you something.
Pickleball is a kind of hybrid of tennis, ping pong, and badminton. The court is 2 times smaller than tennis courts. The net is low, and the ball moves much slower. Real estate professionals say more residential complexes are adding pickleball courts to attract buyers. But there is one problem. When the paddle hits the ball, it makes a loud, whacking noise. Recently in Chicago, people living next door to a park with a pickleball court created a petition demanding that the court be removed. One of the signatories, John T., who wished to remain anonymous, told VOA that he lives with his wife and 2 daughters near the park.
Sometimes I feel trapped, like it's, you know, it's a beautiful day out, it's 70 degrees out, and we have our windows shut. And we can still hear it through the windows. We can't even take a nap. It's just relentless.
In an email to Voice of America, pickleball player Lisa Davis fought back, saying, quote, "This is not a children's park. It is ruled by the city of Chicago as a public park for all residents, regardless of race, age, or gender, to use." To help solve the problem, engineer Bob Anitich founded Pickleball Sound Mitigation, a company that researches and advises communities on ways to quiet the game. Anitich himself, an avid player and a qualified pickleball referee, has already worked with more than 100 clients from the United States, Canada, and Europe.
So we began to study paddles and balls to reduce the sound level of paddles and balls by selecting quieter equipment. We could look at sites all over the U.S. and in other countries on Google Earth and look at the distances to homes, and we can recommend different kinds of barriers that might be used to reduce the sound level.
What's clear is that pickleball isn't going away, so finding ways to play quietly may be the only long-term answer. Maxim Moskalkov for VOA News, Washington.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, a conversation with Congresswoman Lois Frankel, a Democrat from the state of Florida. One of her most well-known constituents is former President Donald Trump. A member of the powerful House Appropriations Committee, Frankel oversees the budgets of numerous federal agencies and advocates for women's rights at home and abroad. A conversation with Congresswoman Lois Frankel this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is the second year in a row the Basketball Africa League has featured a caravan format, with games taking place first in Senegal, then we have the upcoming games in Egypt, and then we have the BAL playoffs and final in Rwanda. I asked Liz Mills, the head coach of playoff-bound Abidjan Basketball Club, if she sees the BAL growing and expanding to new cities and countries in the next few years.
I definitely see the league expanding over the next couple of years. I think it would be a great way for more countries to be involved in the league, as well as open the league up to more fans. I do know that, you know, in the original version of the league, we were traveling home and away. And, you know, like with most leagues around the world, BAL had to adapt due to COVID. I think eventually, though, you know, 5, 6, 10 years down the line, we'll see the league played more like the NBA league, in home and away, multiple clubs participating, and definitely expanding beyond the 12 teams that currently play in the league. I do hope that we see this as a way to also help improve basketball on the continent. More countries mean that we see more investment, but also we see improvement on a playing level as well as coaching level. So there's so many benefits to the league expanding. And I think the important thing is not to expand too soon. And you want to make sure that the league that we're developing right now has the capabilities of expanding that at that level. And I know we'll see that soon, but it's important to really focus on what we're doing right now and making it the best possible league for the teams that are participating in it at the moment.
Coach, the BAL has been promoting gender equity initiatives. As the only female head coach in the league, which initiatives do you like?
The BAL has multiple social responsibility initiatives, which I love. One of them is Trees for Trees, which I participated in last year with my former team, where we were actually one of the highest scoring three-point teams in the league, and we got to plant a lot of trees when we went to Kigali, Rwanda. And obviously one that's very close to my heart is the BAL for Her program, which is a great initiative promoting women across all aspects of basketball. And I think this really is where the BAL is leading the way. As a female participating in the league, even though I'm the only female coach, there are women throughout the organization. You know, we have female referees, we have female game commissioners, we have female officials on the sidelines, we have female cameramen, we have female are commentators. We have females in all aspects of the BAL operations. And so you never feel alone, even though it is a men's league, there is the presence of women everywhere across the league. And I'd say it's probably the only men's professional league in the world where that is the case. And so BAL is really leading the way in terms of gender equality. I do hope, though, in the future we do see some more female coaches. That would be amazing. And even last year, Coach Caddy from Dakar University was an assistant coach for the Senegalese club team. So in the future, I hope to see more coaches. But I do know that the league is looking to promote this as well. And I have no doubt that I will be one of many in the next couple of years.
Like you, Coach, I grew up playing multiple sports. What was the spark that ignited your passion for coaching?
I was really lucky to grow up in Sydney, Australia with my twin sister, where our parents encouraged us to play multiple sports. There's plenty of research out there that talks to the advantage of playing multiple sports before you decide on a specific discipline. And I always encourage the athletes that I work with when I was working with juniors to play multiple sports and not get too specific too early. And so my sister and I actually started our sporting careers as netball players. And it was only when we were about 10 years old that we stumbled across basketball. It was the Women's National Basketball League in Australia. And at the time, it was really, it had great female basketball players in Lauren Jackson and Penny Taylor, who went on to have amazing WNBA careers, as well as having so many female head coaches, which was rare in the 90s and early 2000s. And Coach Carrie Graff in particular was coaching one of the WNBL teams. And when I saw her marching up and down the sidelines, she was a successful, strong, intelligent woman. And as a 10-year-old, that left a deep impression on me. It's probably the reason why I ended up becoming a coach, because it planted a seed early on that as a woman, I could be a leader and I could be successful. And so I think without doubt, if as a 10-year-old, I hadn't have turned on that TV and seen that visible female role model, I probably might not have ended up as a coach. So this is why even now in my career, I try to be as visible as possible, because you never know who you're inspiring by just doing what you're doing.
Are there other basketball coaches who inspire you and who you really admire?
I've been inspired by a number of coaches throughout my career. But fundamentally, first and foremost, Coach Carrie Graff has had the biggest impact. Without seeing her be so successful in the WNBL and WNBA, I probably never would have thought about being a coach. And so this speaks to having a visible female role model to look up to. And then I would say one of my biggest mentors has been Rex Nottage in Sydney, Australia. I met him when I came back to Australia in 2013 to do my master's in coaching degree, and he was part of the program, and he had a wealth of knowledge coaching all around the world. And in terms of my technical abilities, I learned the most under him. But overall, I would say a coach that I deeply admire is Greg Popovich of the San Antonio Spurs. He embodies everything that I think is really important in a coach, placing the player-coach role relationship as basically the foundation of coaching. And I know that hopefully one day I would have as big an impact as he has had on the basketball world. And he's someone that I deeply admire and hope that my career replicates a tiny bit of what he has achieved.
That's Liz Mills, the head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club. And Coach Mills spoke with me by telephone from Abidjan, Ivory Coast. And that wraps up the April 20th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.